We're talking about irresistible Jesus today in his life, in his teachings, and it's just going to blend nicely into a whole series on kingdom living and kingdom speaking and teaching and what it really means to be a human being in Jesus. And that's the whole series. And so that's going to connect really well. And then the third reason I'm teaching this sermon today is I just like to geek out about Jesus. I mean, it is just, I mean, if you're going to geek out about something or somebody, geek out about Jesus, because there's just a lot there. And you think about what we geek out about, and I have a few things on my list here. Some of you geek out about the Marvel Universe. I mean, yeah, I mean, I can look around and see some faces, and I know I'm not going to put anybody, but I know who geeks out about the Marvel Universe and all the connections there, and it's pretty amazing, really. I mean, it honestly is. Some people geek out about the latest Apple technology. You know, even a Microsoft crowd like this, there are people that geek out about the latest Apple tech. There are people that geek out about a new kitchen with new kitchen gadgets. I mean, is that not the best part of a house, especially a new house, and you walk in and there's the kitchen? I know, it's just like, who wants to leave the kitchen? And if it has an island and everything's new and it's just, you know, you can seriously geek out about a kitchen. Some of you geek out about Russell Wilson and the way he can escape the pocket when a 300-pound lineman is bearing down on him. I mean, is that not something to geek out about? I mean, it really is. I mean, it's just impossible, and that it happens every week, hopefully again this year. How about geeking out over a Tesla? My brother-in-law just bought a Tesla, and so I got to ride in that the other day, and the technology in that car, it's like seeing your first laptop or your first cell phone, and you're just like, wow, it can do all these things. And his car can actually pick him up. I mean, he can be at a restaurant or shopping, and his car comes and gets him and opens the door for him, and he gets in, and he can actually illegally go home with it driving him, which he has done. But you can geek out about that kind of stuff. But, you know, geeking out about Jesus is even better than all that other stuff because he's just irresistible, right? He's totally irresistible because he has green eyes. No, it's hard to find a good Jesus picture, isn't it? Do you ever find it? I mean, how can you really capture Jesus and his personality and how irresistible he is and how powerful and how authoritative he is and yet how compassionate he is? So, I mean, I did kind of like this picture. I mean, he does kind of have a little bit of that gravitas, and yet, you know, I don't think he had green eyes, but, you know, we don't know that. We don't know that. But anyways, Jesus taught for only 3 years, and yet here we are 20 centuries later, and he's being worshipped on every continent in the world. At least a third of the world's population claims allegiance and faith to Jesus. The Roman Empire has come and gone, right? The Beatles have come and gone, and yet here is Jesus, despite what John Lennon had to say. So pretty amazing this Jesus. So what I want to do right now is take a look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, and you can turn in there with your Bibles if you'd like. And we're going to take a first look here at Jesus revealing to his disciples who he is, who he is. So in Matthew 16, 13 to 20, and for those of you who are planning to go to Israel, I got a little bit of Israel for you right here. So there you can see Caesarea Philippi, and this is where Jesus is doing the big reveal about who he is as Messiah. And so that's where he and his disciples are. That would be today in modern-day Golan Heights, a highway between Damascus and the Mediterranean Sea. But about 30 miles north of Jerusalem, there in the Galilee, past the Galilee region. And it's on the terrace, on the foot of Mount Hermon. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about 1,150 feet above sea level. Beautiful, beautiful setting. But what I want you to think about is that during the time of Jesus, this was a secular meeting place. And here you have the Sanctuary of Pan. The ancient Canaanites built a sanctuary here to the Baals long ago, and then the Greeks and the Romans took it over, and it became really a hub for people to go and worship the secular gods. And there's a cave actually right there, and that's what kind of the ancients marveled about. And they thought it was a cave to the gods, or as the Jews said, a cave to Hades or to hell. And so it was just this fascinating area. But there was also a temple there that Herod had built, and he had built the temple for the Roman emperor, Augustus, and it was a place to worship the emperor. So geek out about this a little bit. Here's Jesus right up there on Mount Hermon. He's revealing to his disciples more clearly than ever before that he's the Messiah. And in the backdrop behind him are all these things that are worshiping other gods and people that are saying these are the gods. And here's Jesus saying, no, I am the Messiah. So I think that's just pretty cool that that's in the backdrop. And so I want you to be aware of that. So let's look at Matthew 16:13-20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? What's the word on the street? What are people saying? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So in other words, you are no ordinary dude, right? It's not just that you're a good teacher, you're a good person. These are prophets. You're a powerful person. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? The question he asked all of us. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by faith and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he'd ordered his disciples to tell not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So what a powerful passage of scripture where Jesus is revealing who he is. And it's really my favorite Bible prophecy because Jesus is predicting that the church will thrive. No matter what happens in the world, no matter how much it's persecuted or attacked, no matter if there's all kinds of other worship going on in our society, the church is going to prevail because Jesus is the rock behind it all. And we get to be a part of that kingdom, and Mark's going to be preaching about that for the next few weeks as we talk about being kingdom citizens and what it means to live and live fully in the kingdom. So he is the Messiah. He's the God-man. We all know this, right? I'm not telling you anything new. Probably most of you are aware that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God, the living God, and we're here worshiping him today. But what kind of person was Jesus? Why would people say he was the Messiah? Why did they say, well, you're like John the Baptist come back from the dead. You're like Jeremiah. You're like one of the prophets. Why did they say that about him? So I want to take a look at that today. Mark mentioned this already. He has a poster, he has a picture, a painting in his office. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. I was thinking about all the people that came to greet him, and I liked this picture because you think there are kids that came to greet Jesus. You know, there are women that came to greet him. There are people of all different socioeconomic classes that came to worship Jesus and meet Jesus. He was so approachable, so compassionate, so loving, and yet, when you think about Jesus, you think about how powerful he was, right? And how authoritative, and how he meant business. And somehow, in that one personality, you have all of that. It reminds me of Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. Remember Mr. Beaver? One of our favorite characters? Susan is just discovering that Aslan is a lion. And she says, Aslan is a lion? The lion, the great lion? Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Gonna love Mr. Beaver. And so I like the character of Aslan because he was approachable, and you know there are different passages where the girls are patting his mane, and yet he had the booming lion's voice, and he meant business. And I think about Jesus, and I think about his authority, and I think about his compassion. And I think it's just so rare that in any human being, you'll find all that. So let's take a look at a couple of things where Jesus showed his authority and his compassion. First of all, his authority, his teaching was authoritative and compelling. His teaching. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. And so Jesus was, he was just finishing the Sermon on the Mount. Now, never mind that this Jesus has perfect hair. Like I told you, it's hard to find a good Jesus picture. But he's just finishing the Sermon on the Mount, and the people are wondering and they're amazed at his authority. And they're saying, you don't teach like anybody else, right? You're not teaching like the teachers of the law, like the Pharisees. You're not hiding behind quotes and tradition and other people's work. You're telling us straight out. You're representing God. And we know you're representing God. And you're telling us about life in the kingdom. And so, pretty powerful. And Jesus also taught for life change. He wasn't just teaching to present material. He was expecting people to respond in obedience to him. And some of you are teachers here today, and we all can think back to our school days. And, you know, a terrible teacher is one that covers the material well, but they could care less if you really get it. I mean, they're just trying to cover the material. And they're not really checked in as to where the students are in the classroom, and are they really understanding the material? Are they really able to apply the material? But a good teacher, they have their eye on the material, but they have their eye on the students too. And Jesus taught for life change. And he said, you want to follow me? He said, then hear these words of mine, put them into practice, and then you'll be like a wise man building your house on the rock. Jesus also faced off against the Pharisees, right? That was another part of his teaching, is that he had to deal with the religious leaders of the day who hated him. I mean, how could someone be the Messiah, clearly bringing this incredible teaching ministry, and how could people hate him? Well, they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. But I love this passage at the end of the book of Matthew, because they were trying to trap him and have him arrested, and yet finally they get to a point where it's like no one dared to ask any more questions. It's like, okay, we've had enough. We're tired of being humiliated and embarrassed by your intellect and by your knowledge of the Word of God, and so we're going to leave you alone now. Well, yeah, we'll just arrest you and kill you. That's the only thing left to do to you. So Jesus had this amazing, irresistible teaching ministry that drew people to him. He also had this incredible healing ministry where he exercised his authority and his compassion. And so I want to take a look at a couple passages here. So you can all remember stories from the Gospels where Jesus is just authoritative over sin and sickness and Satan and powerful, and yet he stops for a woman. He stops the whole procession, and he stops and he cares for and listens very patiently to this woman, and then he says, daughter, you're healed. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so that's our picture of Jesus in his healing ministry. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. Again, they recognized that he was not like any other man. Where was he getting this ability, this power? It had to come clearly from God. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus, again, authoritative, yet compassionate. Intimidating, yes, but approachable. Just and loving. Powerful and humble. And you think about people, there's just so few people that have that kind of range of personality. I think of people that have gravitas, people that have authority. And who do you think of when you think of somebody who's authoritative? They have a command presence. You know that they're in charge. Anybody come to mind that you think of that is that kind of a person? Just James. Oh, that's yes. that is what a voice. I mean, in whatever character he's playing, he is in charge, right? I thought of Bill Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots. That's the first person that came to mind. That's where my mind went, because now hear me out. Don't kick me off yet, okay? I mean, Bill Belichick, I mean, he had them practicing in a blizzard, and the roads were closed. It was a state of emergency. No one was supposed to leave their houses, and he said, no, we're having practice. He said, book a hotel the night before, right here in the complex, and then you can walk. Now, he has authority, but would he be your best friend? Would you like to hang out with Bill? Would that be comfortable for you? Do you picture Bill as being compassionate? Not really, no. But then I was thinking of Pete Carroll, right? I mean, wouldn't you want to be friends with Pete Carroll, the coach of the Seahawks? I mean, he's just a player's coach. He seems compassionate, he's friendly, he's energetic, he's fun. I mean, just a fun guy. But do you ever feel like sometimes maybe he needs a little more authority and control over some of his players? Some of you are like, no, don't even go there. He's perfectly in control, and the Seahawks are going to have a great season. Okay, we'll leave that there. The point I'm trying to make is that it's not easy to be a person that has that kind of gravitas and authority, and yet also has that kind of compassion and love and mercy, and that's our Lord, that's our Savior, that's our irresistible Jesus. And so my prayer is that as compelling as he was, that people wanted to run to him and wonder at him, that we will reflect our Savior this fall as we do ministry together. That's my prayer. There's nothing that we're going to do in and of ourselves, but as we live for Jesus and let his Spirit live in us, I pray that we would be irresistible people and that they would see Jesus in us, that our light would shine in our neighborhoods and our communities. When anybody comes onto this campus, they would know that they're being welcomed and loved and cared for in the name of Jesus. And so that's my prayer for us as we are really right here on the step of going into fall ministry, that we would have that experience with Jesus.